Good to be here, and I appreciate the opportunity once again to bring a message from God's Word to you. I hope you listen carefully to the prayer that Brother Dale touched on, several things that we're going to cover tonight. Appreciate the prayer on my behalf and also for the listeners. He mentioned that you can be ready to hear and to accept the message as it comes from the Bible, and also to check carefully to make sure whether these things are so. One day there was a group of men who were playing ball when one of them had a sobering thought. "What would you do," he inquired, "if you suddenly were made to know that this would be your last day on earth? What would you do?" Now, there were several different answers to the question. Some said that they would rush immediately to the church building and pray. Some would rush to those that they had wronged and make wrongs right. Others would run to pay obligations that were past due. What would you do? The one man, he thought seriously for a moment, and he said, "I think I would just play the rest of this ball game. I think I would just finish this game that was there." Evidently, this man didn't need to make any last-minute preparation. He shows an attitude of that of being ready, prepared. If this were my last day on earth, what would I suddenly find that I need to be doing? This should be the attitude of a faithful Christian. Since the time of Christ's second coming is uncertain, we're instructed to be ready at all times. Matthew 24 and verses 42 through 44. Jesus said, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." This is Matthew 24, verses 42 through 44. "But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known and watched the thief had come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." And I guess you might say that would be our text verse for tonight. "Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." You see, we really don't know when Christ is coming again. We don't know when we're going to die. We don't know what the future holds. We don't even know for certain about tomorrow, do we? James 4 and 14. James writes, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. And so certainly the message here that James tells us is, you know, we need to be ready at all times. We need to be ready at all times. Also, the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and in verses 5 and 6, he says, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Now, in here in verses 5 and 6, I want us to notice that this passage is directed to us. You know, Paul says that we're the children of the light. We're the children of the day. You know, we are God's children. And so, for that fact, you know, we don't need to be sleeping. We need to be alert. We need to be prepared. We need to be watchful. You might remember what happened right before Jesus was betrayed with the kiss from Judas. Remember how he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And in Matthew chapter 26, we read about how he had taken the disciples with him while he went off to pray. Matthew 26, begin with verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that being James and John, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. You know, such a simple request that he made of these particular disciples. You know, just from what he tells them, it's obvious that this is going to be a very serious time. For he says, he even mentions, it's even unto death. So he asked them, you know, if you'll just wait here and just watch, you know, be alert, be ready. And when he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Just imagine. You know, he's asked them to watch with him. And not even an hour later, he comes back and they're already asleep. Kind of a sad commentary, isn't it, for the disciples at this point? And I guess we have to ask ourselves, if we were in the same position, if Jesus asked us to watch, to be ready for just, you know, even an hour, could we do it or would we fall asleep? He said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Yes, it is hard to stay awake. It's hard to be ready. But that's our responsibility. That's our duty as Christians. He went away the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So not just once, but twice, he comes back and he finds them asleep. They weren't ready, were they? Peter also writes in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. He writes to us that we need to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So there is a reason why we need to be sober and vigilant. To be sober, that means of sound mind. Whenever sober is mentioned in the New Testament, it's talking about our mind. So have a sober mind. And here it means especially to be free from the influence of intoxicants. Be ready, be watchful. Be vigilant. That means to be watchful. To keep awake and to be spiritually alert. Maybe your body is tired, but spiritually, are we ready? Are we alert for the coming of Jesus Christ? What if He came tonight? Would we be ready? Unfortunately, there are some who think that when the Lord comes, they're going to have time to make some last-minute preparations. You know, just a quick trip here or there. Take care of a few things that we kind of let go. Even members of the Lord's church think this way. That there won't be time. Because we're told that the time to prepare is now. Right now. We need to be ready. Be ready at all times. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 2 lets us know that now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, but now. It's in the present. And so therefore we need to set our house in order, just like Hezekiah was told to do before he was going to die. And then we need to keep it that way. We can't be like the rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19 who went away sorrowful because, you know, he had great possessions, didn't he? He was one who really wasn't ready. He had his treasure on earth and not in heaven. Matthew 6 and verses 19 and 20 through 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so what about us? You know, what about me? You know, if you think about it, we eat sumptuously at most meals. We wear some of the finest clothes that can be bought. We have a nice car. We have a beautiful home. We have maybe a prospering business. We have large bank accounts. We have investments in stocks and bonds. We have luxury. We have playthings that are considered luxury. Are these our treasures? Do these things make us ready for the judgment day? Lay up treasures in heaven and not on earth. Also, we don't need to be like the rich fool that's spoken about in the parable in Luke chapter 12. You might remember this was the fellow who was busy building bigger barns, greater barns. We read about him in Luke chapter 12, and I guess the lesson really starts in verse 15. Jesus tells this parable, Luke 12, and begin with verse 15. He said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And that's kind of interesting because we kind of live contrary to what this passage tells us, don't we? It's almost like, you know, we have to have as much or more than our neighbors to keep up. And we think that that's what makes a person, how much we own here on this earth. Verse 16, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. take thy knees, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? And so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This night your soul may be required. And so what's the purpose then of all these earthly possessions that we've been hoarding up? And so that was the thought that was faced to the rich fool. It's kind of interesting if you'll notice there in verse 19 at the very end where he says, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. You know, he was talking about being comfortable. And that's a saying that we probably have heard several times, but you ever notice that's not the whole saying? He just quotes part of the saying. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. For tomorrow we die. I wonder why he left out that last part. For tomorrow we die. Maybe he didn't want to face the fact that, you know, we're not going to be on this earth forever. All he was concerned about was today. He wasn't thinking about tomorrow. He wasn't thinking about this night when his soul would be required. But all he was thinking about was just being comfortable. And I wonder, how much time, how much money do we spend on things to make ourselves comfortable? Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. We also need to be careful not to be like Felix, who was waiting for a convenient season in Acts 24 and verse 25. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. And that's what he said to Paul after he had heard him preach. He's kind of like the man who waits for the 2-minute warning and it doesn't come. He was waiting for a convenient season. We can't wait for a convenient season. We can't wait for a season that won't interfere with my schedule. I don't think those type seasons exist, do they? There is no time like now, like the present. And then the last parable that I want us to consider is the parable of the 10 virgins. Because this parable in Matthew chapter 25 also talks about readiness. And in fact, these particular 10 virgins in this parable, they thought they were ready. They really did. Let's read about it. Begin with verse 1, Matthew 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, that there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch, therefore, For ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. These virgins had taken some oil, and we noticed that five of them didn't take enough. It says that they took no oil with them. Evidently, they were just kind of getting ready for the time being, but they really weren't prepared for when the bridegroom would come. And they were kind of hypocritical in this presentation, because they were kind of doing like eye service or presenting the show for the present, but not being prepared for the time when their Lord would come. They didn't have enough oil in case the bridegroom tarried. And that's exactly what happened, wasn't it? They waited, didn't they? In fact, all of the virgins waited. And it's kind of interesting that we need to point out that they really weren't ready. Because it's pointed out that all the virgins slumbered and slept. Does this kind of remind you of the disciples when Jesus asked them to watch but 1 hour? But these virgins, they all slumbered. They all slept. You know, they grew tired of waiting for the bridegroom. Much like Christians today may be growing tired and waiting for when will Christ come back. But the beauty of these virgins is that they need to wait, and they need to greet the groom when he comes. And when he arrives, then they'll, you know, light up their lamps. They'll make sure that he finds the way to the house of the bride, and then they go off to the marriage feast. That was their duty. This is how they show honor and how they perform service to the bridegroom. Likewise, as Christians, we also have to wait and be ready for the Lord. But unfortunately, so many of us we're growing weary, we're getting careless, we're getting discouraged, we're getting apathetic, we're not adding to the Christian graces, we're losing our first love. And then the Christ came at midnight, with the bridegroom coming. Interestingly enough, when the cry came at midnight, it was unexpected. It woke up all the virgins. In fact, you might even remember it was at midnight when the Lord passed over and all the firstborn of Egypt were killed. At midnight, when you least expect it, in the middle of the night, would we be ready? And again, it also reminds us of the rich fool. You know, he wasn't expecting this night. Your soul would be required of you. This very night. Maybe at midnight. But those who were ready, they went with the bridegroom in verse 10. And then, of course, verse 13 gives us our lesson. Watch, therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man coming. So, what are we saying this evening? Is how important it is that we need to make preparations. You might remember the time when even David, when he was not allowed to build the temple, he still made preparations so that his son could build that temple. 1 Chronicles 22, verse 5. And so likewise, what preparations are we making? If we were told that tonight would be the last day that we would spend on this earth, would we finish the game? If we were told that Jesus was coming back tonight, could we say that we're ready? Or would we have to rush out and kind of take care of a few things, a few loose ends that I should have taken care of earlier, and I didn't. I'm waiting. for maybe a more convenient season? Who knows? Or would we finish the game knowing that right now I've already made all the necessary preparations and I'm ready right now. Let's go on and let's finish this game. I hope that we have seen tonight the importance of being watchful, being alert, and being ready. At this time, we're going to sing an invitation song. And this is an opportunity. If you feel like you're not ready, if maybe you're not a member of the Lord's Church and you know that's what you need to do, you need to become a member of the body of the faith. If you haven't believed, if you haven't repented, if you haven't confessed and you haven't been baptized, that's something that needs to be done now before it's too late. Like we've mentioned, we're not promised tomorrow. We don't know. If we've sinned, we need the encouragement, the prayers of the church. The invitation is extended to you while we stand and while we sing.
Oh, do not let the word depart, and go thy heart against the lie. Put in your heart like you are, be faithful tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Why not tonight? Why not tonight? We'll die. Be faithful.
I'm waiting.